Please be seated. And before I continue, I want to thank the family of Clifton Hale for these lovely flowers. I also want to thank Janice for these flowers over here, and Lampasas Florist for the palm branches. And I love the way they smell. It gives it such a fragrant smell in here. A burglar broke into a house one night. He shined his flashlight around, looking for valuables. Then he picked up a CD player to place in his sack. A strange, disembodied voice echoed from the dark, saying, "Jesus is watching you." He nearly jumped out of his skin, clicked his flashlight off, and froze. When he heard nothing more after a bit, he shook his head, promised himself a vacation after the next big heist, clicked the light on, and began searching for more valuables. Just as he pulled the stereo out so he could disconnect the wires, clear as a bell, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." Freaked out, he shined his light around frantically, looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, his flashlight beam came across a parrot. "Did you say that?" he hissed at the parrot. "Yep," the parrot confessed, then squawked. "I'm just trying to warn you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?" "Moses," replied the parrot. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of person would name their parrot Moses?" "The same kind of person that would name their Doberman Jesus." Hosanna was the word that began the most explosive 7 days in all of eternity. Next, there would be a week that would be as profound as this 1 week in history, beginning with Palm Sunday, leading up to the Garden of Gethsemane, leading up to the Last Supper, to the crucifixion, to the resurrection. It was Passover week in Jerusalem, and nearly 2.5 million people were crowding the streets in this ancient city. Think about 2.5 million people and no cars in that city. Try to get around that. Well, and you could guess what the transportation would leave on the ground. All adult Jewish males were required to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year, with Passover being one of those times. What a week for the presentation of the king. As Jesus rode through the jammed streets, the mass of humanity threw their cloaks on the way before him. Fittingly, such was the historical way that a population would welcome their victorious king come home from battle, that the crowds were welcoming him as the Messiah. The exuberant crowd also cut branches from trees along the way and threw them in front of the king on a donkey. And I was just thinking, Michelle, I probably should have asked you to bring one of those donkeys today. That would have been awesome. One of the nice ones.
A long ride for me.
Yes, long ride for you. Yes. There you go. We could have two. Or actually 5. They waved the branches high above their heads as they proclaimed, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna meaning God saves. Save us now, Lord. And isn't it interesting? Jesus, God saves. Joshua, God saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were worshipers. They were declaring, "Everything that we have is yours, Jesus." The holy city of Jerusalem was crowded with pilgrims who'd come for that celebration. Jesus had spent many months traveling through the towns and villages of the area of Judea, of Palestine, of Samaria. He preached about the kingdom of God and healed the sick wherever he went. Now the time had come for him to claim his title as the Messiah, the Savior of God had promised to the Jewish people. Jesus knew that his mission was almost completed. Sadly, the crowds did not expect what his mission would be. They thought that he would come as the conquering king, not as the suffering servant. As they traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned his disciples that he soon would be put to death, and after 3 days he would rise again. And isn't it interesting? At each time we've looked at Jesus' life as we've journeyed to the cross, prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled, with Jesus' words being eternally true. In fact, at the end of our passages, he speaks about the horrors that will fall Jerusalem because so many people in Jerusalem would not believe him. And they also would revolt against the Romans. 40 years after his death, the Romans would not only destroy Jerusalem, they would grind the temple up. They would leave no stone upturned. They would lead the people off into captivity. 40 years, a building that they thought was blessed by God and would never go away, came tumbling down because they did not recognize their true Savior. As they came into Jerusalem, Jesus told two of his disciples to go into a nearby village and bring a donkey that would be waiting there. Imagine this. Imagine one of your friends saying to someone that you don't know, yeah, go to that person, take his car. He doesn't need it. You know, he's going to give it to the Lord. He doesn't need that extended cab 4x4. With the really nice tires. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. Crowds of people spread their coats on the ground in front of him. Some waved branches of palm trees, a sign of victory. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And kings were greeted like that in 2 Kings 9:13. And the people wanted Jesus to be their king. Matthew 21:9 tells us that they included the word Hosanna, save now. A feeling of celebration, a feeling like when a British royal would come and visit the people, or today, like when the Pope would come in for a visit. Everyone in Israel knew that the Messiah would be enthroned as king. The Old Testament makes it very clear that the coming king would do his main work in the city of David. The scarlet thread of redemption running from Genesis to Revelation talks about the coming king. But what they believed was that all of the prophecies of the Old Testament would come true at once. What they did not expect was a king who would come twice. So far, Jesus has come once as the suffering servant, as the Lamb of God. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. And as I preached through Revelation, we talked about how Christ, when he comes again, will set up his eternal kingdom as King of kings and Lord of lords, and that every knee will bow. They understood part of the story. They were on this side of the cross. But we are blessed in that we have seen all of biblical history. We have seen 2,000 plus years of history, 40 or more authors, 66 different books. When we want to know the will of God, we can turn to the sacred pages of Scripture. On the Passover, the lamb is slain. Isn't it interesting? In Exodus, the people are delivered from Egypt because of the Passover lamb. The death angel spares them, and the Pharaoh finally lets them go. Jesus is that lamb for us. In the Old Testament, there were priests and prophets and kings. Jesus is that perfect priest, that perfect prophet, that perfect king. And so there were many beliefs about Jesus. The zealots thought that Jesus would overthrow the Romans, that he would be the king, that he would just take over. The Pharisees thought that he would lay the rule down. He's the Messiah, and the people are going to follow what the Pharisees have to say. The Sadducees were rich, and they wanted to keep their power. So their Messiah would have pretty much kept the status quo, would have been in power, but wouldn't have minded the Sadducees just enjoying their wealth at the expense of the people. Everyone had different expectations for Jesus. He was a miracle worker. He was a prophet. He was a good man, but we know that he was man and God. He is the Savior. But what questions do children today have about God? One of the questions is Santa God's really rich brother? Here's a testimony. I teach preschool Sunday school, and I talked about Jesus as the good shepherd and how he will leave 99 sheep to find the lost one. One little boy asked, "Did Jesus live in a zoo? Why does he have horns? Does he headbutt the other gods?" That was another question. When my oldest was about 3, we found a baby bird in the yard that had fallen from its nest. When I went to check on it the next morning, it had died. When I took the kids out to play, I discreetly scooped him up and put him in a bag and in the trash. When we came home, my son asked, "Mama, what happened to the baby bird?" Trying to skirt the issue, I said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about that baby bird. He lives with Jesus now." He looked at me thoughtfully for a few moments and he asked, "Does Jesus live in the trash?" "Did Jesus practice walking on water first? How can I do it? And lastly, if Jesus doesn't have a sister, why do I need one?" So many people fail to see Jesus as that suffering servant and the Lamb of God. You know, it's so easy to look at someone and not to see who they really are. One of my friends is a wonderful witness. She's done inner city mission work, and she likes to give cards to homeless people so that they can get food. And she posted this recently. "If you think you're awkward, then clearly you've never tried to give a gift card to a person you thought was homeless who turned out not to be homeless." "Sorry, I'm just waiting for my mom. These are my pajamas." She felt dead, literally dead. I mean, it's probably also awkward to be mistaken for a homeless person, so that person probably felt awkward too. It's so easy not to see reality, to only see a part of it. And even the disciples did not fully grasp who was amongst them. Jesus had been discipling them for 3 years. And when he would talk about needing to die, his disciples thought it was ghastly. Why would the Messiah who's going to take over, why would he need to die? But after the resurrection, the disciples understood completely what Christ had been talking about. And after the resurrection, they understood when he said that this temple will be raised again. And when we look at this passage, when they ask, "Why are you untying it?" say, "The Lord needs it." God was at work. And isn't it interesting? Whenever we as a church are following God's will, God is preparing the way for us. That God is opening doors. That when people change, it's because God is moving on their hearts. When we are being used as instruments of peace, when we are God's ambassadors, God is leading the way. And we saw that in Acts in our Bible study we've been having on Wednesday. That Paul was going to go to another region. And the Macedonians said in a vision, "Hey, come over here and help me." God leading the way, opening doors. God's Spirit intimately involved. Jesus knew when he was going to die. Jesus knew how he was going to die. Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And Judas had a choice. Judas didn't have to betray Jesus. His own heart was darkened. He cared more about money. He cared more about prestige. He cared more about his own place than he did about Jesus. And it said that Satan entered him. He opened the door. But Judas had a choice, but he made the wrong one. He did not see Jesus as the king. And it's interesting, they came near Mount Olives. I talked earlier about Jesus and his discourse on the Mount of Olives. Over 100,000 graves ready for when he will come back for the second time. And that's where he ascended. And that's near where he died. This one holy place. The Garden of Gethsemane was also there. All of these important events happening, coming to a fulfillment. And our faith is not built on speculation. We do not have a blind faith. We do not take a leap in the dark. We know who is the Lord of history. We know who guides our steps. And think about it. Jesus' birth, all of that coming together. The star, the wise men, the angels, Herod. All of these events coming together. The census having to be at the exact right time. Jesus coming to the Roman Empire that at that time in history had the best roads. And a Roman citizen could go anywhere within the Roman Empire. For such a time as this, God had been bringing this all together. We saw in Christ's baptism, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Well, the Father blessing his Son. We saw that at the Mount of Transfiguration, where they got just a glimpse of what Christ will look like in glory. It's wonderful to read different chapters of Scripture or to memorize different verses. But we also need to remember that all of Scripture is part of a grand, thousands of years old symphony, beginning in Genesis, ending in Revelation. And for Cliff's funeral, I preach from Revelation chapter 21, because I know that I will see Cliff again. I know that we have trouble, we have problems, there is sin, there is conflict, there's jealousy, there's gossiping, there's so much wrong in our world today. But Cliff rode with the Savior. And we know that when Jesus makes a promise, he fulfills it. When God says something will be done, it happens. How did the universe spring into existence? God spoke. How were the waves calmed? Jesus spoke. That same God that calmed the seas, that parted the Red Sea, the kinsman redeemer, the one whose flag over me is love, the Lion of Judah is coming. And isn't it wonderful that as believers we stand in an unbroken chain with 2,000 years of Christians, with Christians worshiping God all over the world, in every tongue, in every language. And we stand together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the beautiful thing is, God never said, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're talking about them still being around. When Jesus said, I am, when he was at the burning bush, when God said, I am, that covered everything. Our past, our present, and our future is all shored in, secured by God. Our mighty tower, our rock, our fortress, our anchor is with us, just as it was with Cliff. And I mourn the loss of Cliff, but I am thankful that he has seen his Savior. I am thankful that there's one day coming when I will see him again. Would you please bow your heads? Dear Lord, we have seen your Son enter Jerusalem triumphantly. Later this week, we will be there at the Lord's Supper at Gethsemane in Maundy Thursday. We'll get together to pray at Good Friday. We will celebrate the resurrection on Easter. Lord, if there's anyone today that needs to make a decision, that needs to come to you for the first time to be born again, to accept you as Lord and Savior, if there's anyone that feels called to join the church, if there's anyone that feels called to minister, if there's anyone that feels called to rededicate themselves, Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to forgive someone, if there's anyone here who needs to forgive themselves and confess their sins and ask for you to forgive them, Lord, may this be a sacred place in which people can meet their God as we pray silently.